This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
I'm Nick Westergaard, and this is On Brand, helping you tell your story. My guest this week is Ernie Harker.
If you get started off on the wrong foot, eventually you realize that the brand that you're representing to the world isn't representative of the attitudes and personality of the brand. You know, you created this art project that people, some people liked and some people didn't. But if it's not in line, then there's just confusion.
Ernie is a creative branding mastermind. He recently published Your Brand Sucks, a book that reveals why most companies get branding wrong and reveals the secrets he has used to assist dozens of companies in defining a clear image and personality for their brands. One of his greatest successes was to help revitalize an old Western retail chain into a $3 billion high-energy adventure brand. He leads workshops, gives presentations, and offers an online masterclass to help organizations define and develop remarkable brands. Buckle up, because his dynamic personality and passion for brand development will have you racing to build your brand. His friends call him Earn Burn. Welcome to the show, Earn Burn.
Thank you so much, Nick, for having me on your show. I'm excited to mind meld with you a little bit.
Oh, well, you know, you may have done your background research, but as a Star Trek fan, I'm here for the mind melding.
Oh yeah.
But in looking at this, you know, there are so many great business books out there, and sometimes the titles are all over the place. I love one that is direct and kind of hits you over the head, because I feel like that's a little bit of what we have to do in this crowded world we find ourselves in. So, Ern, tell us why most brands suck.
That's a great question, and I think the reason they do, and I introduced that at the beginning of my book, and I think what we typically do when we start a brand is we go about trying to develop a logo first without any real parameters or brand strategy. And oftentimes that brand strategy, based on personal preference, is misleading. So, for example, I like this logo a lot. It has nothing to do with my brand, but I like how it inspires, you know, it's inspiring to me. So we choose brands and colors and textures and fonts that we personally like, not necessarily those that fit a brand strategy, one that wants the one that is intended to communicate our distinctive brand personality to our target audience. So we kind of get started on the wrong direction.
It's that focus on the touch point of the logo, I think, that we tend to over-index on. So alternately, I mean, some of those things, and to be frank, we'll give people a little bit of niceness. This branding stuff's hard, and you can see the logo, you can see the colors, so people gravitate to that and they grab onto it. But what should we be reaching for instead? Where should we start instead of, I need a new logo, that is my new brand?
The first step I take people through, take organizations through, is the first thing is to really understand what it is that makes your organization different. If you're building a brand for yourself, you need to know what it is that makes you different. And what I mean by that is, like, how are you different from your competition in a way that is pretty remarkable, and it's also genuine? Some of the things I get when I ask this question to people is, like, an organization will say, it's our people that make us different. Well, on the surface, that's a really easy and fun answer. But the reality is, if it's your people that make you special and make you different, how easy would it be for a competitor to hire your people? And now that's their competitive advantage. Now, the only way that people really are different, like, so if an organization were to say, you know, it's our people that make the difference. Well, if you have a process or a system that develops good talent into amazing talent and creates a very consistent customer experience, like a Four Seasons. If you've ever been to a Four Seasons, you know what I'm talking about. They create a bubble of experience that is completely unique. So unless you create a system or a process that turns talented people into amazingly talented people, then people really isn't, or people aren't, your most distinctive brand feature. But even in that case, it's really not the people, it's the process. It's the process of making fantastic employees. So the first step is, like, what is it that really makes me different? And that can be developed through mining. That's like going through, I go through a process of interviewing employees, like from the front line to the, you know, to the CEO. And I ask them these questions about what makes you different. And then eventually those, the salient points stick, and they kind of come out. Now, I've worked with people that don't really have a unique difference. Like in the convenience store industry, that's tough. That is water industry, you know, bottled water or convenience store. You sell gasoline, nachos, hot dogs, you know, the same Cokes and smokes and stuff that everybody else sells. So how in the world are you going to be different? And if it's not apparent, if it's not something that that's easy to discover, you may have to develop it. You may have to create it. But even if you create it, it needs to be authentic to the organization. It needs to be authentic to the leaders, so they go, oh my gosh, yeah, that's totally us. And we can get behind this in a big way. So that's the first step, is really understanding what it is that makes you special and unique.
Well, and I think that's a great first step. And your people point there is another one to spend a little bit of time on, because a lot of these are common answers that I know folks like you and I hear a lot. And if there's people sitting out there listening, think, oh shoot, that was my answer.
Yeah,
it was the people thing. I think what you said is important, because I think it's there. I think, but people, kind of like the logo, are somewhat tangible. It's an easy thing to grab onto. And a lot of time, when you say your people, you actually are pointing to what you can see, but it's really something else that you can't see or describe, or maybe you haven't put some of that thinking into defining, that there is often something else there that those people are helping you deliver, but you have not defined that. So mm-hmm. I love that you brought up the concept of mining, because I feel like, a lot of times I will say on this podcast, usually when a guest has brought up mining, we're talking about data mining, which is mm-hmm. important and is a great practice. But it is a metaphor that I use a lot, because I feel like, especially when you're talking about an existing business, when you're talking about, I love the Cokes and smokes, but you talk about some of these businesses that are parity businesses, in that, you know, they do what a lot of others are doing also. And you look out there, and I always define this when I'm working with a brand as a mining problem, that it's that having to chip away, that there's something under there, but we got to get a lot of this rock out of the way. And our questions, usually facilitated by folks like you, are not you know, a pickaxe and tools, but rather it is questions to kind of get behind what's there, what's unique, what's interesting about this business that's kept it going through these years.
Yeah, you mentioned in your book, and you quote somebody else about why yourself to death. It's the process of asking why over and over again. So you ask, well, why does that make you different, right? And then the answer comes out, and then you go, okay, so why is that? And then the answer comes out, and then you go, so you basically why yourself to death. And that's a really excellent exercise to get to a deeper understanding of what it is that makes you different. It's the same process you go to get a deeper understanding of any topic, right?
Yeah.
But one of the things I found out is that when you're trying to operate on yourself, it's really, really hard because you're looking at your business through a tainted lens. And it's hard to see the perspective from outside your business, from your customer's perspective or an associate's perspective. And so one of the things I did is in the process of going through this process with clients, I wrote down a bunch of different questions that are kind of like the why yourself to death. And these questions are basically intended to get to the root of you and I both call it a brand spark, that reason for being, that why. And it's these series of questions that maybe some are hard to answer, some are really, really easy to answer. But if you answer all the questions, the answers to those questions will be revealing what it is that makes you special. But once you understand that thing that makes you special, then you can start going, okay, how do I create a logo or brand elements, fonts, colors, textures, all that kind of stuff that help draw out that brand spark or that unique difference? Without understanding what that unique difference is, you're basically creating a piece of art in a logo that may not have any relevance at all to what it is that makes you special. And that's the point of branding, is to draw attention very quickly to what it is that makes you different and makes you special. Not just get attention or not just, you know, be different, but to go it different plus, oh, I know it is what they do and why I need them. All in the quick, you know, snapshot of brand attributes or brand tools, such as a logo, a podcast graphic, an email header, a website, or whatever it is. So all those things need to be informed by that unique difference so that we can create a brand, you know, look and feel, a brand style guide that informs that unique difference or that expresses that unique difference.
Well, I love that point, and I'm glad you brought it a full circle all the way back to what we were saying with logos, because if you have that why, that brand spark defined, then you can go back and use that. It's directional. It's not just answering consultant questions. You have something that you can use as a divining rod to inform that, so that you're not just, like you said, creating an art project. Oh, that's a color I like. I'm going to paint my living room that.
Yes.
You know, that the logo is something that is deeply connected to your brand spark, your meaning, and everything else. And I will also mention the whying yourself to death came from past podcast guest Jay Acunzo. So I will link up to that in our show notes here, because I think it was on this podcast that he mentioned that. And then
it's great. It's a great process. It's a really excellent exercise. My experience has been that it's best to have somebody outside of the organization ask those questions, because they can challenge the status quo or longstanding sacred cows, that actually, when you break through those sacred cows, those assumed positions in the organization, that you can get to the real spark. You and I both call it the same thing, a brand spark. So that was very interesting that we both did. But without that outside perspective, it's hard to ask those challenging questions, because when you ask those challenging questions, you tend to lose a little bit of corporate positioning, you know, like equity in the company. Oh my gosh, that guy's he's a troublemaker. You know, he challenged this longstanding belief that we have. Whereas a third party, people go, well, he's not even an employee. We can fire him, but it's like he was planning on just working temporarily anyway. So you have a little more, an outside person has a little bit of opportunity to be bold and aggressive in challenging status quo to get to that unique brand spark.
Well, that's another, it's like Nick's favorite metaphors here this morning, because you mentioned the importance of that outside perspective, and I always make the medical allusion to the fact of it is like operating on yourself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that sounds grotesque and hard and everything else, but it's no different. And, you know, the answer to why that doesn't work, even if you were a skilled doctor, is I'm not in the right position. I can't see in there, and my hands can't get at what they need to. And it's the same thing with brands, of being able to challenge that, of not having all of the baggage of, okay, well, see, what is important to understand is that was when we thought we were going to enter this market, and then we didn't. So then we had to appease these people, and then,
Yeah, it's like if you get started up on the wrong foot, eventually, you know, within 5 years or so, you realize that the brand that you're representing to the world isn't representative of the attitudes and personality of the brand. You know, you created this art project that some people liked and some people didn't, because I can get into that in a second. But, you know, when a customer looks at the brand, the logo or brand elements for the first time, you want them to go, oh, I get what the brand is all about. But if it's not in line, if the representation of the brand isn't true to the unique personality of the organization or the product, because brands can be both product and organization specific, then there's just confusion, and the employees sense that confusion, and so they can't work on all cylinders to promote the brand because they don't even know what the brand is about. So I think that's why it's so important at the very, very beginning, before you start working on logos and the fun projects like that, that you develop a brand strategy, starting with what makes you different. And the second thing is, who are your core customers? Like, very, very specific, because like we'll keep using metaphors, like fishing. If I'm going to catch a fish, I have to know exactly what type of fish I'm going to go fishing for, because that informs me on the type of bait to use. It also informs me, like, where do these fish even live? Like, I found myself fly fishing. My dad loves to fly fish. He's not very good, but he likes to tie the flies and stuff. He likes the art of it. Well, I found myself in this beautiful river, on this beautiful river in Wyoming, with fly rod, and I've got a box of flies, and it's just beautiful. Well, I stand there and I'm like, I have no idea what kind of fish are in this river. I look at the flies and I go, I have no idea what these flies are or what they mean. So I could put a fly on the rod, you know, on the line, and then be beautiful, like, you know, a river runs through it, you know, casting this fly perfectly onto the water, making it present beautifully, right? And no fish are going to bite, because am I putting the fly in the right place? Am I using the right bait? I could assume that there are no fish in the river because nothing's biting. In reality, I'm an idiot because I'm not prepared to know what I'm fishing for, and I haven't done the research to find out what kind of fly to use and then how to present that fly to my target. And so the same thing applies in marketing. We're doing the same thing. It's like, if we don't know who we are fishing for, how in the world can we even imagine what kind of bait to use? What kind of tone or personality will attract that customer? So that's, find out what makes you different. Find out who it is in your customer base that will appreciate that unique difference, that brand spark, in a way that they'll go, I'll spend money on that brand spark. And the third is to kind of understand your core beliefs. Like, why this is that, why are you doing this? If it's, I mean, other than money, why are you doing this? Because that informs a lot of the brand personality. It informs some of the language you use and the tone that you use. And the last step is to establish your brand adjectives. And at first I did this and I realized, man, a lot of the brand adjectives that my customers are choosing are the exact same ones as their competitors. And so if they can be described using the same adjectives as their competitors, then there really isn't that much of a difference. So I challenge them, okay, come up with 5 or 6 adjectives that describe your brand, 2 of which can't be associated with any of your competitors. That's really tough. But when a brand has those adjectives like, hey, we're friendly, we're happy, we're cheerful, we're bold, we're whatever, right? Those adjectives inform color palette. They inform textures and patterns. They inform vocabulary and tone. Because you can say, oh, that was a very cheerful phrase, or that's a cheerful color. So when you've defined this brand strategy using those 4 steps, then you know, okay, what colors should we use? And what does our image in our logo need to look like? What fonts do we use? Because fonts can also be described using those adjectives. So start with the strategy first before you get to the fun creative stuff. And then when you get the creative stuff, it's like, oh, I kind of know where my selection of logo types and fonts and colors and stuff like that are a lot more narrow, instead of I've got a billion colors to choose from. Choose my favorite and hope that it works. Like, my favorite color is maroon. And yet we're like this cheerful, happy, fun company. It's like, maroon is not associated with cheerful and happiness. It's more somber. It's deeper. And we don't get to bring our own, like, color, the color psychology. Now, color psychology is almost universal. You know, in some cultures, color is a little bit different, but it's almost universal. So we can't say, well, my favorite color is maroon, and so I want that to be associated with cheerful lightheartedness. Like, okay, that's going to be a challenge for the rest of this business life. So that's also answers to your first question. How do organizations get it wrong? They start with the logo, they start with creative, but they don't start with the strategy.
Well, Ernie, that was amazing. And I know you have a masterclass that I hope you tell us more about. But this podcast, I think, for many has been a snapshot of that and a great jumping off point. But before we get there, it is time for me to ask you for a brand that has made you smile recently.
I will tell you, it's kind of interesting. I've been thinking about this for a little while. And okay, Apple is one of those things, but I'm not going to go there because I'm like an Apple addict. I've got Apple everything. But Marvel, yeah. I like the Marvel universe. Okay, so here's why I like Marvel. The first thing is, okay, I dabbled in comic books as a kid. Okay, I wasn't a huge comic books reader, but because I was really interested in art, I was drawn to the dynamic way characters and backgrounds were drawn in comics. So I'd collect them not for the stories, but for the art. And as a late teenager, young adult, going through college and stuff, I lost that passion for the fantasy in the Marvel and DC universe. And I was so grateful that Marvel became a production studio. Marvel developed a production studio. And what they've done, it's kind of like Disney in that they produce or acquire intellectual property, characters like Star Wars or whatever, and then they fold it back into their entertainment. You know, Disney Plus now has a platform to share all their great stories and create that platform to display new properties and new ideas in a very easy way. So what I love about Marvel is they've re-inspired me with the characters and the stories that I enjoyed as a kid, but in a format, not the video, not the comic book format, but a video format that I love. And it's not just, you know, they have these great spinoffs like the What If series, mm-hmm. in a beautiful, I mean, talk about jaw-dropping, eye-popping animation style that I've never seen before. Like, this is art and I love it. It's like I got a box of tissues and I'm like dabbing my eyes because of the beauty of the artwork and the composition of the video and stuff like that. And they're bringing new stories into line. So anyway, that's why that's made me smile recently because I've watched a ton of Marvel stuff recently.
That is a great example, a great smile, and a great story behind that. Ernie, where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
The easiest place is my website, earnburn.com. And that's where they can learn a little bit more about the course I teach, speaking, and the book.
Awesome. Well, we will link up to all of that in our show notes at onbrandpodcast.com. Ernie, thanks for being on brand with us.
My pleasure, Nick. Thanks for the interview.
And if you like what you're hearing, if we've made you smile, remember you can listen for free on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or whatever your favorite platform may be. Until next time, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.